Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy, hit us up. And you always know that our lines are open here at the WKAR studios. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind in the world of sports. And how you've been enjoying the show so far, I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, email me, Facebook me, or even call us at 517-355-9527. Folks, are you counting down at home? Pretty soon, very, very soon, the weather is going to start to change, the leaves are going to start to fall off, and you know what? Football. Yes, right. Football is going to be back in all of our lives. I certainly can't wait to start hearing the crack of helmets each and every week. We are now just 8 days away from the kickoff of high school football here in mid-Michigan and just 9 days away till we start college football here in the area. Current Sports will be teaming up with Current State on that August 30th as MSU gets ready for the first game of the season at Spartan Stadium against Western Michigan. We'll be broadcasting for 3 hours up until the 8 p.m. kickoff. You do not want to miss that. I'm definitely excited for it. Now, sticking to the high schools, though, for just a sec, I invite a local coach who is the definition of a class act and is a pretty fiery guy on the football field. Now, last year, his team went 5-4 during the regular season, hoping to rebound from that this upcoming season. They are just, and I mean just, finishing up a scrimmage in Howell, Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Holt High School football coach Al Slammer, who's actually on the bus coming from Howell right now. Welcome to Current Sports, Al.
Well, hi, Al Martin. How you doing? And we are on the bus. You are truly getting the taste of high school football. Maybe that's the seedy side of high school football, riding the bus back. But we played a heck of a scrimmage today for the really great, great football, just tough football programs in the state. We played against Lake Orion,
right,
Lowell, Howell, and ourselves, and it was a tough, hard-hitting scrimmage, and saw a lot of good things out there today.
Yeah, Coach, I guess we are getting the true essence right now. You guys just finishing up scrimmage on the road right now from that scrimmage as you guys prepare. That is great. Now, was this just a one-day scrimmage? Was this just a morning scrimmage, Coach?
This is a morning scrimmage for us. In fact, it's an all-day kind of a festival. Is that the varsity goes at 10 o'clock, the junior varsity goes at 1 o'clock, and the freshmen go at 3:30. More and more high school teams are scrimmaging early in the morning, especially the heat things. There's so much interest, as it should be, being placed upon the health of our young athletes. It's a proper thing to do at the right time. So not just the heads-up program, which is teaching proper tactics, but also that idea of hydration and those types of things as well.
And as far as the health goes, I definitely want to dive into that in just a second, Coach, because I definitely have some questions on that. But, I mean, Coach Slammer, I mean, how does it feel right now? You guys are just a little over a week from kickoff of the season. How exciting is that for you and the team?
Oh, you know, Al, I am absolutely like a kid in a candy store. This is my 36th fall while I will be opening the season coaching. And I got to tell you, every year is just a year that's just as exciting as the last. And some are obviously more exciting than others. But, I mean, this is when you come in and you start to take out the pads and the grass is cut and it's getting a little bit warm and then enthusiasm in the community is there. I mean, it's a wonderful time of the year. You know, football holds a very unique spot in the personality of a high school and of a community.
Right.
You know, the school is coming back into session. What other event are you able to bring in 4,000 or 5,000 people together to come in and watch just, and I'm a big proponent of this. You know, I'm a football coach and football is part of that. And we love the pageantry that goes along with football. But football is an event. It's all those kids that are playing football-wise. It's the cheerleaders. It is the band. It is the crowd. It's the hometown crowd. It's everybody in there. It is truly an event. It's a wonderful way to start the year. And I really, truly believe that the football team set the tone for the entire school year of a community.
Right, right. So true. Coach, you got my blood boiling right now. I cannot wait.
Oh, come on.
Man.
Will you go down and just run down one kickoff for us? Just in the first game. Just the opening kickoff.
Just the opening kickoff. Well, you guys play Hutchinville the first game, right?
We do. We play Hutchinville.
So you want me to announce that first kickoff?
You be right in the first kickoff. We'll put you right in the front. You'll be that wedge breaker right there. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
We got two of our tough twin players on there, Kate and Connor Butch, who are, I'll bet you one of those guys might give up the spot for you just on that open.
I can't. Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, I cannot wait for it. The community can't wait for it. Michigan can't wait for it. The entire nation can't wait for this. I tell you that. Now, Coach, I got to ask you now, for those listening who don't know about the fiery and class act of Al Slammer, I mean, how in the world did you first get involved with coaching, Coach?
Well, I thought that when I was playing college football, I had my college coach was a gentleman that you may have heard of before. It was a guy by the name of Lloyd Carr.
Oh, yeah.
Who eventually went on to become the head coach at the University of Michigan, a great class guy. And I think that the influence that he had upon me, and not just from a football standpoint, but on the standpoint of being passionate about whatever it is that you choose as your profession, I think that's one of the great lessons that I've learned from him, and I still believe, I truly believe this in our program. As football coaches, it's a one-loss business. There's no question about that. But the real job of teachers and coaches, and those work with the young people in America now, is really we are in the process. Our job is to develop young men to become better dads, employees, husbands. We really truly believe that in our heart. Mm-hmm. This is what we are trying to develop. And that needs to be paramount in everything that we do. We do tons of community service things where our kids are involved in things that give them an opportunity to see things outside the realm of themselves. And again, I think that the important part of football is, yes, the football part and the dedication, the commitment, all those things go along with it. But we want our kids to take lessons that will stay with them for the rest of their life. You don't just play football and you're done with. We hope that we leave lessons with our players and will stay with them for a lifetime.
Coach, that is such a great message and so true. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you out there who are just turning on your radio and tuning into Current Sports, you are listening to the two Al's right now. Coach Al Slammer of Holt High School. He's the head football coach over there. Thanks so much for joining us again, Al. And I want to ask you now, your interaction with Mr. Lloyd Carr, truly a legend in the world of football. I mean, what do you think made him so memorable? And what do you think made him stood out from the rest of the coaches in the game?
He was honest. He was direct. He was a person who epitomized commitment. He was fair. He was firm, and he had a great sense of humor. I think that these are traits that make you want to follow. He was a great leader, and the traits that he exhibited make you want to follow a person like that. He was a person that I could trust, and I think maybe as a leader, one of our leadership lessons that we have in our leadership school is that there's really two ways that you can lead. You lead by example, and you tell people exactly what you expect from them. I think that's a great leadership lesson, whatever profession it is that you choose. And I thought, again, that Lloyd Carr was great with that. And, again, outside the realm of football, I think that these are some of the lessons that you need to learn.
So very true. Now, Coach, every coach out there has a different method for preparing for a season. What is yours?
Well, I think that when we talk about in terms of preparing for the season, we have to remember that it is a commitment to get better in everything you do year-round that will really make the difference between whether a team is good or whether a team is bad. And when we talk in terms of playing football, play football is a year-round commitment. Now, I'm not saying that we want our football guys year-round. We still harp on the idea of playing three sports, being in the weight room, being a great student, all of those things. But what we ask for them is whatever it is that you're going to do, make a great commitment. Be committed to be a great student. Be committed to be a great basketball player, wrestler, if that's what you're doing in the winter seasons, or baseball, whatever it is. What we ask for them is to make a commitment for what our expectation is. And the people that are really successful in life are the ones that make that commitment of what it is that you're going to be good at. So you need to commit yourself to be good at something. So jump in. I guess what we want to say, Al, is jump into the lake full go instead of just putting your toe in. If I'm going to be a football guy,
Right.
If I'm going to be a football player, if I got this is what I need to do. I need to jump in full bore and be as good as I could possibly be. And whatever it is, if you're going to be in theater, by gosh, you do that. If you're going to be in the chorus, by God, go through and do that as well.
That is so, so true. Now, Coach, you guys are about to jump into the season. Again, a week from tomorrow, it has certainly flown by.
Wow.
Now, Coach, wow. You guys are in the CAAC Blue Conference along with Lansing Eastern. You mean you have Lansing, Everett, Sexton, Okemos. It's a pretty stacked league. East Lansing. I mean, how? Just talk about this division and how tough is it to play in the blue?
Well, I will argue with anybody that listens that our conference is as tough as any conference in the state. You know, there's the vaunted OK Red, and I think that ourselves, Lansing Sexton, Grand Ledge, and again, as I already mentioned, Hulk, you know, we reached out, we go out and we play those guys. We open with Hudsonville and Rockford, Grand Ledge opens with a couple Sextons, open with those, and some of our other teams have done that as well. But I think that the CAAC Blue is taking great pride in proving themselves a great conference. Let me tell you what's great about this conference. Again, I was 28 years at Battle Creek Central on the west side of the state before coming here. And what's impressed me over the course of the last 6 years is really two things. Number one, in the CAAC Blue, they're great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Top to bottom in that conference.
Right.
They're great. They're Division I athletes every single year. Great speed, great size, and great commitment from the kids. But the other thing that I believe is underrated in our conference, and again, it's top to bottom, is the coaching staffs. And I'm not just talking in terms of one coach, but I believe the coaching staffs are students of the game, and I'm impressed with that every single week. That's why when you look at the scores of games, every game is
right.
A battle from week to week.
It's yes, it is.
It's a blast for fans who love to come and watch a game of football. This is high school football. This is tough, hard-nosed, well-coached football, as good as any place in the state of Michigan.
Right. That is so, so true. And, Coach, I mean, looking at last season for you guys, now you guys went 5-4. How do you assess, in your own eyes, how do you assess last year, and what are you specifically, from a coaching standpoint, what are you looking to improve upon this upcoming season?
Well, I think that we were at Michigan State a couple weeks ago watching practice. I was listening to Coach D'Antonio, again, another tremendous class act there. But I think that our season really mirrored a lot of what they did. We were a young team. I would love to have six plays back from that season, but that's water under the bridge. What we needed to do this year is we needed to, you know, our young team that we had last year, those guys are veterans. And when we start our off-season program in the first week of December, from day one until while we're riding home on the bus right now, this group has just been a blast to work with. The expectation, what we asked them to do, they've been a group that's been willing to do that and far, far more. So as we look back at our season last year, every game last year was a struggle. There was no easy game for us at all. And there's a couple reasons for that. Hey, a lot of that has to do with youth and inexperience. A lot of those things have to some of it has to do with some injuries at times, but everybody goes through those things. And some things, and it comes back to maybe not taking advantage of a few breaks that we had. We can look back and evaluate what we did offensively and defensively that we need to do, but what we really need to do is we need to look back, we need to look at growth and look to expanding what we did last year and expand both offensively and defensively and do a better job of executing what we did last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us on Current Sports, we are talking with Coach Al Slammer. He is the head football coach over at Hold High School. Now, Coach, you guys, I believe this is your second week of practices and scrimmages, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Right, this is our second week. Our first 3 days are our notepad, and we come back. It's really, everything has really accelerated tremendously. You know, a week and a half after you start practice, you're in game week, which has changed everything that we do over the course of summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days when I played and even more recently than that, you had a chance to get yourself in shape, 3 good weeks of practice, you're starting in the middle of September. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
Practice on Monday, a week and a half later, by gosh, you're in game week.
That is.
At this point right now, the scrimmage is done, and we're in Hudsonville game week right now, and we'll be there through November.
And I want to ask you, I mean, you talked about the scrimmage a little bit at the beginning of the show. Now, looking at the scrimmage and looking at, you know, the practices you guys have had last week and now this week, how is the team looking so far?
That's the question that over the course of the next 5 days I'm going to answer hundreds of times. We'll do that from the whole community days to people calling me on the phone and texting me because, you know, this community of Holt is a football town that really loves their football, and I embrace that. You know, everybody wants to know, how's that old Rams going to be? How are they going to be? And they're very interested. Kids love to play the game of football here. We have great numbers, you know, get 60-plus in the varsity. But as we go through, and today was a great day for us because we see three really, really good teams. Mm-hmm. And if we take a look at the three scrimmages, again, I haven't seen film on those, but we'll throw those out. Lowell is a tough, physical, hard-nosed team that they think this year has a chance to be a Final Four team. They brought an 11-man front at us and really got physical. I enjoyed the way that we rose to that. We didn't move the ball as well as I would have liked to have done there. But I thought defensively we did a relatively good job there as well. That was who we all went. Then we went to Lake Orion. Lake Orion is a Final Four team last year, and again, a team that we see in our off-season powerlifting tournaments and those things. They're an outstanding program that believes that they can contend for the state championship this year. And I thought that we moved the ball well. We scored quite a bit. We played really good defense. That was a good game against two really good teams. Our last game we came up was against Howell House, a big, tough, power football team there. And I think that both teams played that power-style football against each other. And I think that both coaches saw some kids that really stood up and were both very, very physical and tackled well. And ran the ball well and blocked well. So I thought, you know, all three of those kind of had a little different taste to them, each one of those scrimmages. So that's a long answer to a short question, but I've seen a lot of positive things. And I'll tell you, our biggest change this year is when you have now a senior-dominated team, the experience and their ability to make adjustments is just far, far better. Last year was difficult to make adjustments in the middle of the game just because, you know, there's a lack of experience. Mm-hmm. Tremendous experience with this group, and they are a very veteran team who has the ability to make those kinds of adjustments. That's what we're looking for this year, and it really is, if we're going to have the kind of success that we think that we can have this year, our seniors are going to have to rise up and play very, very well. And they put on a coach as well. Our coaches need to work hard and do a great job with those kids as well.
Well, Coach Slammer, I certainly look forward to it. Now, shifting gears just a little bit, going back to the health that you talked about as soon as you got on. Now, concussions in the high school game. Now, what things are you trying to teach at the high school level to ensure a safer game? Because, I mean, everyone knows that this has been a constant constant discussion over the past few years, not only in the NFL, but at the youth level as well. What, as far as concussions go, what certain things are you teaching these kids at the high school level to ensure a safer game?
Wow, that is a fabulous question. I am so glad that you asked that question because I think it's important for us to understand that the new program, you have to be certified in proper tackling and concussion prevention and all of those things. So I think that, number one, first thing, it's been legislated that what we need to do is we need to be trained better. So that's from the third grade volunteer coach to the college level coach. So number one, first thing is we are training better. The second thing that we are doing is we're doing a great job, a much better job of teaching a hitting and a tackling progression. Taking one step at a time. You know, we're not just lining up and going to tackle people. We do a tremendous job. And again, this is all part of that training program of teaching a proper progression, doing that. Mm-hmm. Then what we need to do is the emphasis upon proper strength building to really reduce the risk of concussions. And all studies have shown that strengthening the neck is one of those things that you have to do, and you have to do it in the right way. In fact, our golf outing this year, all of our money raised for the golf outing this year, was to purchase neck training equipment so that all of our students, regardless of sports, at Holt High School can use that to lower that impact or the incidence of concussion. One thing that people don't realize is that football is the fifth on the list in the number of concussions. It's the high-profile sport, but it is not the one that has the highest amount of concussions. And a lot of that is because of improved instruction, improved teaching progression, improved equipment. So I think that it has really improved the safety of the game. And I think that we can't take that lightly at all, that the safety of our athletes is first and foremost in our mind.
Right. That's so true. Now, Coach, if you look at this aspect, when I talk about the NFL level, now, there have been many, many parents out there who have echoed these sentiments that, you know, with the increased knowledge that they now have when it comes to concussions, they are pretty hesitant to allow their son to go out there and play the game. Now, Lynn Barney, former Detroit Lion, I don't know if you saw this, Al, but near the beginning of the summer, he said that the game of football would be gone. Yeah, you've seen this. The game of football will be gone in 20 years. That's what Lynn said. Now, it's a bit extreme, I know, that comment. Now, what are your thoughts on the future of football, though, at the youth level and beyond? And do you agree with Lynn?
I think football is a great game to teach the lessons of life, the commitment, teamwork, all those guys working the other office. I'm not saying that there aren't other things that can teach that. But I think inherently that everything that we do in life, from driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning, has inherent risks to that. And I believe that with proper instruction and proper strength training and really proper knowledge, we can reduce the risk of playing that game. Again, when we think in terms, I think Len Barney's, I was surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I thought that's a little radical in his approach there. I mean, he's an honest guy. Len Barney had an opportunity in my old school, Battle Creek Central. He came and spoke to our group and spent 2 days with our football team.
Oh, wow.
And we got penalized because his prayer before the game was so long. It was kind of interesting.
Really?
Who's going to stop Len Barney from praying?
Right.
You know what? I understand that, and I have to answer that all the time. But I really think that there's risk in everything that we do. And really what we have to do is we have to take great care in training our kids right, doing proper strength building. We have to make sure that we're teaching the techniques of those things right. And remembering that, you know, all of these sports have inherent risks for us, and that we can reduce the risk of these things happening. We're never going to get 100% in any sport to play, but I believe that it's a sport that we can play, and that you can play safely. And then I think that moms and dads need to be part of their football programs that they're in. But I believe that they should feel safe. They should feel comfortable that their sons and maybe even daughters can play the great game of football.
Al, do you blame that parent who says, I don't want my kid playing because of those concussion risks, because they see what happens to, you know, the long-term effects, I should say, when it comes to concussions? How do you respond to that parent who says that?
Hey, you know what? I would just ask that parent to make an informed decision, and hey, it's their child, and it's their decision, and I respect, you know, I would respect their opinion. And I just, you know, again, we need to make sure that they feel comfortable in the decision that it is that they've made. And, you know, I'm not here to convince anybody to do something that they don't want to do. Mm. But what I believe is that we can make the game inherently safer. And I think that we've done a great job of those things. And remembering that, and again, I'll go back to it, football is fifth on the amount of, you know, the amount of concussions. So, I mean, there's risk in lots of different sports that you play. Make an informed decision, and a decision that will that you can feel comfortable with.
Well, I love to see it turning in a great direction, in a positive direction in that area of the game. Before I let you go, Al, I got to ask you, what is the most rewarding part of your job, what you do, coaching these kids at the high school level? What is the most rewarding part of your job?
When you see somebody, whoever it is, who really starts to improve, and they light up with that whole idea, and they see that this hard work, it is all paid off. And in essence, that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them to get that great work ethic. When they have that great work ethic and they start to get better, and they see that this, by working hard and working that good technique, that they start to get better and that they get it. And that is what it's all about. It's a great thing.
It truly is. Well, there you have it. Whole High School football coach Al Slammer. And for those who don't know, Current Sports TV is inviting Holt High School out to the second taping of Current Sports TV on September 18th, that is. I look forward to seeing you then, Coach, and it's going to be a great time, man.
Well, we're going to be there on the 18th. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, my phone is ringing off the hook right now. You have 80 seats. Is that all?
80 seats. That's what it's looking like right now. Now, maybe we can work something out.
80 is going to be tough for us right now. I'm feeling those calls now. So, we'll try and give you an enthusiastic studio, Al. And I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you covering the whole Rams. And as always, it is a great day to be a whole Ram.
Yes, it is. There you have it. Al Slammer. Love him, man. We'll be in touch, Al.
Okay, thanks, Al. Great talking to you.
All right, you too. All right, well, when we return to Current Sports, we'll dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I want to let you know we'll be taking your calls after the break. Don't hesitate. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear what's on your mind. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is coming right back.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, they are known as the White House Boys, students at a 1950s and 60s Florida reform school. They say they were beaten by staff and some boys vanished. A former student calls it a state-run concentration camp.
Little did I know that there was a monster hiding behind every blade of manicured grass.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. I want to remind you that we'll be taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Man, I cannot believe that we are just a week and a day away from the kickoff of high school football. Such an exciting time in Mid-Michigan right now, and in Michigan, period. I certainly can't wait for it. We just finished talking with Holt High School's football coach, Coach Al Slammer. Such a great guy, giving us some insight on their season. They play Hudsonville for the first game of the season with them. That is going to be next week, Thursday. I cannot wait to really get things kicked off and see the pigskin flying around the air. It should be an exciting time. All right, well, let's get into our current sports topics. Right now, the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, they lost game one of a three-game series against the Minnesota Twins. 6-3 was last night's final. Justin Morneau, he was great last night. He hit a two-run homer and then a two-run double before finishing with a season-high four hits. He was unbelievable yesterday. Now, starter Rick Porcello for the Tigers, he was charged with five runs, four driven in by Morneau with a two-run homer and the double off Phil Koch that scored runners who reached against Porcello. Here was Rick after yesterday's game.
Not getting ahead of guys. The fifth inning, really, I felt like I was throwing the ball pretty good. I felt like I had good stuff, getting a bunch of swing and misses, and the fifth inning just didn't get ahead of guys. Walked two batters, and that was pretty much it. I mean, that inning kind of just got on me quick. Not getting guys out early and putting runners on base and creating trouble for myself. Well, I think, like I said, and my stuff I felt really good about today. I think just the bottom line was just not getting ahead of guys. I mean, trying to do too much with pitches early in the count, just not, being relaxed, throwing the ball down the strike zone and getting guys to swing the bat. And, the free passes are the most frustrating thing. I mean, if a guy, they string together a couple hits on you and score a couple runs, you can live with that one way or the other. But in my mind, giving guys free passes is not good. And that was, to me, the turning point in the game, those walks in the fifth inning.
So, yeah, that was Rick after yesterday's loss to the Minnesota Twins. 6-3, the final of that one. Now, in each of the final three innings, the Tigers brought the potential tying run to the plate. In the ninth, it was Miguel Cabrera. Now, Miggy was injured during the ninth inning. He took a swing in the ninth inning, and really, you could see on his face that he was in some pain. So, Miggy, who has really been unbelievable, even playing with that ankle injury and then the hip injury, and now this, he's still been producing. He is certainly a freak of nature. Now, Phil Koch, he saved an opening day win in Minnesota. His season turned south soon, though, after he wasn't able to reverse it, even as Leland has moved him from his late inning role into middle relief. He has an 0-5 record with a 500 ERA, and several of his inherited runners have scored, including two last night. Now, he has been sent to AAA Toledo after the game, and he was not happy about it.
No, I'm not encouraged by that because currently I'm a little too annoyed at the fact that I'm being sent down. This is far from what I ever thought I would experience in the big leagues, is the feeling of being sent down because I haven't been able to do my job the way I was expected. One, two, shown per past performances by myself, and three the overall expectations.
Does this move surprise you? And if so, was this weighing on you at all? Like,
I figured it would have happened in the first half. Not right now. I mean, especially since Velocity's been back, gotten a lot of key outs recently. Been on a decent run, no earned runs. I mean, I've given up three earned, four earned, or inherited.
Right.
I mean, and sometimes those things happen, but, you know, I mean, right now it's not something we can afford as a team, so.
So, yeah, Phil Koch, he has been sent to the minors. Again, he has an 0-5 record. Now, Aaron just called me out. I said 500 ERA. That would be a crazy record if he had a 500 ERA. A 5 ERA. and several of his inherited runners have scored, including two last night. Now, Jim Leland, the skipper, he emphasized that Koch will be back for the September roster expansion, which is 10 days away. Now, left-hander Jose Alvarez, who has been a starter, he was recalled to take his spot. Now, this is the first time Phil has been sent to the minors since 2008. All right, Le'Veon Bell and Kirk Cousins. Now, Steelers rookie running back Le'Veon Bell is getting a second opinion on his sprained right foot and will miss Saturday night's preseason game against Kansas City. Bell underwent an MRI on Tuesday after he was hurt in the first quarter of the 24-13 loss to the Washington Redskins on Monday night. Coach Mike Tomlin says the team is still waiting for a final diagnosis. Now, Bell rushed for 9 yards on 4 carries against Washington in his professional debut. He sat out the preseason opener against the New York Giants with soreness in his left knee. Now, the Redskins, they survived a scare Tuesday when an MRI revealed no major ligament damage in Kirk Cousins' sprained right foot. Now, this was said a person familiar with the situation, the person who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity, because the team didn't announce the results. Now, Cousins should be back in time for week 1 against the Philadelphia Eagles on September 9th. Now, there's also the projected return date for Robert Griffin III, who has made a remarkable comeback from major knee surgery. Griffin said he received a favorable report when he was examined by Dr. James Andrews before Monday night's preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Griffin will meet again with Andrews within the next 3 weeks, hoping to get the final thumbs up and return to the gridiron. Now, Cousins was hurt when he was tackled from behind by a linebacker, Lawrence Timmons, at the end of a 7-yard scramble in the second quarter on Monday night's 24-13 win. Cousins grabbed his ankle, got up, limped toward the huddle, and then plopped down on the turf as if taking a seat to take a rest. He was unable to continue. All right, Yasiel Puig. It was a roller coaster day for Dodgers rookie Puig, the Cuban sensation. He was benched to start yesterday's game against the Marlins and was reprimanded by manager Don Mattingly for being late to the ballpark. Now, he was inserted into the game in the 6th inning. Puig didn't waste time in his first at-bat. And on the first pitch he saw, Puig hit his 12th home run of the season to propel the Dodgers to a 6-4 win at Marlins Park. Now, Puig has just been unbelievable. He had been 3-for-23 in his previous 5 games, but he overcame the clubhouse struggles for another dramatic Dodger win. Already a fan favorite, after just 68 games, Puig played in front of a relatively friendly crowd in Miami's large concentration of Cubans, cheering him on. Even in a few innings, he didn't disappoint. I tell you, that kid is something else. All right, Major League Baseball, they have suspended and fined Red Sox starter Ryan Dempster for 5 games for intentionally hitting Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez. Now, Dempster, who failed on his first 3 attempts to hit A-Rod before finally connecting on the 4th, may not even miss a start. What kind of suspension is that? It's not really a suspension. As the Red Sox can tinker with their rotation and delay his return a bit longer. Now, Dempster, he won't appeal the suspension, and he says, quote, "It sucks anytime you get suspended. It's not a fun feeling to have." Not appealing has to do with just taking my suspension and putting it in the past. There's no point in carrying out an appeal process. We've got other things to worry about. Well, I got a funny feeling that he's not appealing because he's not really getting punished, to tell you the truth. All right, Rodriguez, he is currently appealing his 211-game suspension for allegedly using performance-enhancing drugs and tampering with MLB's investigation into the whole Biogenesis scandal. So, interesting stuff there. All right, Von Miller. Now, Denver Broncos linebacker Von Miller, he will serve a 6-game suspension. That's a lot of games, man, for Von Miller, who's such an impactful guy. 6-game suspension, though, under the NFL's substance abuse policy. A violation, the linebacker said, did not result from a positive test. Now, the league wanted a longer penalty for the third-year linebacker, but the sides agreed to less than half the season. Now, Miller's suspension will begin August 30th, the day after Denver's final preseason game. He is eligible to return for Denver's 7th game, and that will be October 20th against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the suspension will cost Miller more than $800,000 of the nearly $2.3 million he's scheduled to make this season. The suspension will cost Miller more than $1.2 million in bonus money, per a rule in the collective bargaining agreement on substance abuse suspension. Now, after being notified of the decision, Von, he released a statement saying, quote, although my suspension doesn't result from a positive test, there's no excuse for my violation of the rules. Now, he says, I made mistakes and my suspension has hurt my team, Broncos fans, and myself. I am especially sorry for the effect of my bad decisions on others. I will not make the same mistakes about adhering to the policy in the future. During my time off the field, I will work tirelessly and focus exclusively on remaining in peak shape. And so on and so on. So Von Miller, a guy who's so impactful on that defense, he is an unbelievable defender, probably the best defender on that Broncos defense. 6 games. That's a lot of games when you talk about the impact he makes defensively for that team. So we'll see how Denver survives that. It's going to be very interesting to see that. Massachusetts State Police, they have recovered a gun they saw was used in a 2012 double homicide in Boston. Now, allegedly linked to former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez. This is according to multiple reports. It has been widely reported that Odin Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez's alleged murder victim, may have had knowledge about the Boston slangs as well. Now, authorities have not recovered the gun used in the Lloyd shooting. However, video cameras in Hernandez's home show him carrying a gun hours after the shooting occurred. Now, Hernandez remains jailed with first-degree murder charges. He has a probable cause hearing scheduled for this Thursday. All right, now this is really a disturbing story, to say the least. Now, prosecutors filed charges against 3 teenagers on Tuesday after police said the boys randomly killed an Australian baseball player as he was doing a training run and shot him in the back. 22-year-old Christopher Lane ended up dying along a tree-lined road. Now, two teenagers... 15 and 16 years old, they were charged with first-degree murder and ordered held without bond. A third, who was 17, was accused of driving a vehicle while the weapon was discharged. Now, he's said to have pulled the trigger, but the judge directed him to remain quiet and said Tuesday that those facts will come out as the case proceeds. Now, Police Chief Dan Ford has said the boys had the simplest of motives. That was overcoming a boring end to their summer vacation. And I'm not lying. Let me repeat that. Their motive was that they were bored, ladies and gents. So they decided to go out with a gun, ride around, and randomly choose someone on the side of the road to shoot at. There's something wrong in this world, I tell you that. Now, Ford said in a variety of interviews that the 17-year-old told officers that they were bored and killed Lane for, quote, the fun of it. On the other end, family and friends on two continents mourn Lane, who gave up pursuit of an Australian football career to pursue his passion for baseball. Lane had just accepted a baseball scholarship at East Central University, just south of Oklahoma City. Now, there are also witness accounts of this incident. One report of a lady who drove by, saw the shooting, saw him fall in the ditch, and said that this baseball player was, he started turning blue and started making a strange noise, and then soon after he passed away. How disturbing is this, I tell you. We live in a sick world, ladies and gents, and to hear stories like this angers me, upsets me, and just puts in perspective that you never know. Tomorrow's never promised. Hold someone tighter tonight, folks. Hold someone tighter tonight. All right. Well, we have to move on to our last segment of current sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Or hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports. Or even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKAR. We want to hear from you. We're also going to tell you a story about a father who was kicked out of a game due to letting his son hold a beer. You got to hear this one. More current sports is coming right at you.
Say you all corrupt. Mexican police, you all take bribes?
Not all of us.
In the new FX series, The Bridge, Damian Bachir plays a Mexican detective working a homicide case with El Paso cops on the Texas-Mexican border. On the next Fresh Air, he'll talk about that role and playing a drug lord on the Showtime series Weeds and Fidel Castro in the film Che. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. We are taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin. 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. And ladies and gents, it's Wednesday, so we're going to get to our Barbershop Wednesday segment in just a second. Also want to note another kind of funny story, I guess you could say. A dad was actually kicked out of a Arizona Cardinals game over a beer. A season ticket holder of the Arizona Cardinals. He was kicked out of the stadium after police accused him of giving his son a beer. He asked his son to hold it so he could take a picture, and undercover cops saw it going on, and they said, "Hey, man, you can't do that," and kicked him out. What do you guys think? That's pretty funny. I'm joined by Alex Sharp, Matt Lutke, and Mike Corey right now. I don't get that one, man. It's not like his son was drinking the beer. He just held it real quick to take a picture.
Well, to start, there are so many religions that even engage in drinking at even a younger age than the legal 21 to begin with. But in response to this undercover
officer, he just held
officer, yeah, and he's just holding it. There's no proof of him actually drinking it, right?
No, not at all. He didn't take a sip. The father just said, "Hey, I want to take this picture."
Right.
Real
well,
quick.
I guess they're doing the law is possession. It is a minor in possession.
But don't kick him out the game. This is a dedicated Arizona Cardinals fan. He is a season ticket holder.
There are not many of them.
So you say
You're talking about the Arizona Cardinals. Come on now.
So you're saying write him up a ticket instead?
Don't even do it. He's taking a picture, man. This kid is holding the beer.
But then where's the fine line?
Alex, he's holding the beer. It's not like the kid was sipping it.
But it's possession, Al.
Oh, my God.
He is possession.
You sound like if my grandma was on this show, because my grandma is real black and white. If you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law, honey.
Grandma on the show?
I would love to. We're going to have my grandma. One day, we're going to have my grandma on the show, and she loves to argue a lot. But grandma is really black and white. I told my grandma about the story. She was like, "Well, the kid shouldn't have been holding the beer, baby. If he's holding it, that's a breaking the law. He should be kicked out." So, and I said, "That's totally wrong. He's just holding the beer." I mean, come on, that's too harsh. That's too harsh stuff. Right.
Yeah. Motion to call the segment "Grandma's Boy" with Al Martin.
We should. I'm gonna have Grandma
seconded
on here.
Seconded. She's
spitting knowledge all the time. I tell you, but
no, really, the kid's not at fault though.
No, he's just.
I don't think you can
beer.
Blame the kid at all.
Right.
I think if you're gonna blame anybody, it's the dad.
And now the kid doesn't get to see his Cardinals play. It's
listeners, call in on this one.
Hey, I'm definitely interested to see what they say about this one. All right, well, it's Barbershop Wednesday, but before we get into Barbershop Wednesday, guys, this QB battle in the land of Sparty is pretty interesting now. Now, for those of you who don't know, Michigan State actually had their second preseason jersey scrimmage this past weekend. And I tell you what, this freshman QB, Damian Terry, he turned some heads. Damian Terry, he actually led the rally for the offense, compiling 280 yards of total offense against the primary number one defense on MSU. Now, he was 10 for 14 in passing for a total of 240 yards and three touchdowns. He also rushed for 40 yards on 12 carries. Now, redshirt freshman Tyler O'Connor, he threw for two touchdown passes and completed 11 of 16 throws for 102 yards. One INT for him. And Andrew Maxwell, who everyone has been buzzing around saying, okay, he was a starter last year. He's probably going to be the starter this year. Andrew was 9 for 19 in passing for 77 yards. And sophomore Connor Cook was 4 of 9 for 67, including one touchdown and one INT for him. This is pretty interesting, guys. Now, if I had to choose right now going off that scrimmage, the clear-cut choice would be Damian Terry. What do you think is going to happen? And what do you guys think about this kid?
Well, you have to take everything that's a scrimmage with a grain of salt because you don't know the setup of, you know, what situations they were put in, how it was even run. You know, we don't have all the information. It's not exactly a game-like situation because, I mean, a few years ago, Maxwell was outperforming Kirk Cousins in scrimmages, and, you know, we saw how that looked on the field. Not that great. But as far as Terry potentially starting or winning this quarterback competition, I'm all for it. Whoever's the best player should play, regardless of where you are in your career. I know Maxwell's a fifth-year senior, but if he can't hack it, he can't hack it.
Right. But just to really delve into this and look at this, like, very complex, it's like how we would look at the preseason in the NFL. There's really nothing here. There's not 70,000 people screaming in this kid's ear on a game day at like, Iowa or Ohio State. So to really just look at it, but the stats do speak for themselves. It is impressive. In my view, yeah, I'm with Matt that the best person should be playing. I'm thinking Maxwell is Maxwell's really to lose right now, and I'm gonna say Maxwell will be starting that first game.
Let me just say this, Al. One thing you have to look at this QB battle is how many reps played. Remember, this is the second scrimmage, and this is the first year Damian Terry has ever played with this one and MSU team. So, when you look at Maxwell, he's had 3 years. Connor Cook, 2 years. Teams have picked up on some of his tendencies, some of his passes, the way he's going, some of his typical, if he's going out of the pocket, where he's looking. Is he looking left? Is he looking right? So, in that regard, that's the only negative response I'd say to Damian Terry's performance is that it could be just luck in his first scrimmage against the defense because they just don't know him yet.
Yeah, I mean, what's that saying? I mean, even the sun shines on a dog's buttocks at least once in a blue moon.
I've never heard that one.
Look up that one, man. I couldn't say the actual other than buttocks. there's a different word for that. But, I mean, Damian Terry, if you look at it, and I totally agree with you guys, the best player should be behind center come August 30th. And I think if Damian Terry, I mean, this is impressive. We can't deny that these numbers were impressive. If you look at it, and again, it's a scrimmage. I mean, if you look at scrimmages, the coaches out there sometimes will manipulate the score just to make it seem like put people in certain situations and put pressure on a certain individual to see how they respond to it. So they manipulate the scores and all that kind of stuff, but not the stats. I mean, if you look at Damian Terry, I mean, like, again, he was 10 for 14 passing for 240. 280 yards total, 40 on the ground. Those are numbers that compared to, like I said, I just ran down the numbers of Tyler O'Connor, Andrew Maxwell, and Connor Cook. Those are numbers that definitely stand out with you. I believe that if Damian Terry continues to play like this throughout throughout practices, throughout preseason scrimmages, leading up to that first game against Western, I think he should get that starting job just because, I mean, he's outperformed these guys in scrimmages. I think just when you look at Andrew Maxwell, and I've heard this from a lot of guys too, just because Andrew Maxwell was that starting QB last season, a lot of individuals, and like you said, Mike, is his to lose. But I think if Damian Terry continues to do this, he should be that one behind center. I don't know. That's just me saying. I mean, this certainly turned my head, but again, you do have to take it with a grain of salt. But it comes down to if this guy can keep performing like this in the preseason.
Yeah, and if Maxwell has been here, he's a fifth-year senior.
He's a fifth-year,
He should have this on lock. He shouldn't even have to go to practice. It should be his job. And if he's still, if there's even talk that this is a four-man competition, it's not his.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah,
that's saying a lot.
It's saying an awful lot.
You're a fifth-year senior, and you got a freshman QB coming in outperforming you, and there's question marks left and right. That's a problem.
And to counter Alex's point about maybe it's a beginner's luck, and that's certainly possible, but at the same time, Damian Terry is learning the playbook right now. Andrew Maxwell's been studying it for 5 years.
Exactly.
And, you know, 10 of 14, 240 yards, 24 yards of completion. Can you imagine,
yeah,
you know, with our defense, if we have a quarterback who can go out and get 24 yards of completion, like,
right,
that's huge.
At this point, I'd be happy if we could just get 5 yards.
Exactly. And, yeah, you know, yeah, and if you have a guy who can get big chunks of yardage, you know, that was the big difference in a lot of these games last year. We could not move the ball. We weren't going to string long drives together. That just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
It was either going to be Le'Veon Bell 19 times down the field or we're going to go 3 and out.
Right.
If you have a guy who can get a 46-yard completion, put him in. You
right
know, if you can move the ball any way you can.
Exactly. And you know, that's been Mark D'Antonio's biggest thing. He always says when he talks about Andrew Maxwell, he uses that word create.
Yep.
Andrew Maxwell has not been able to create when he's out there behind center. And that's been the constant problem. You got to move the chains. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that and you're putting all the harp on the defense, that's a problem. And you know what? And when you look at this performance from Damian Terry in this second scrimmage, of course, as you mentioned, Matt, I mean, this is a scrimmage. You know, they, like I said, they manipulate the, you know, the scores, they manipulate the time on the clock, they manipulate a lot of stuff in scrimmages. But there's been reports out, many reports about this scrimmage and quotes from, you know, assistant coaches saying that, you know, that have been asked, like, was this legit? I mean, when you guys looked at Damian Terry, was this a legit performance from him? And they all have said, yes, this guy put on a show that day.
Yeah. And so, and one quick thing to look at. If this really was a flux, if this really wasn't a true performance, why would he be performing with the ones in the first place? So for me, the fact that
right
he was with the ones, it's not like he was with the threes and twos and dominating.
They using put the primary him, offense.
They put him with the ones.
Yeah.
So for me, that says a lot. Just real quick, because I want to get to our other segment.
Yeah.
Who do you think should be starting, and who do you think ultimately will be chosen?
The best man. I know that's a politically correct
what a
answer.
Cop out.
Yes, that is a politically correct answer from me. But the best man. If Damian Terry keeps doing this, man, throw the freshman out there, man. Throw him out there. Why not?
Yeah, I would like to see Terry or O'Connor, mm-hmm, just because both of them are a little bit more dual threat. Although I think Terry's mobility might be a little bit overblown.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's more Russell Wilson than Denard Robinson.
Right.
But, you know, as long as you have a guy back there who can make plays. And I think Maxwell will probably get the nod to start the first game.
I think
game,
he will, too, yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be a short leash, to say the least.
I would like to see a freshman, is what I'd like to see. Either Damian or O'Connor. But that's the thing. We saw Denard and his mobility didn't work too well. Will the same thing happen to O'Connor? Is this really not a running type of Big Ten offense?
And just imagine if Damian Terry ends up getting the starting role. I mean, talk about a sophomore like Connor Cook, and he's like, whoa.
He's gone.
What am I going to do
if
now?
If Damian Terry's a starter,
yeah, yeah,
Cook, O'Connor,
right,
do you think both of them transfer out? Like,
at
that's
least,
that's
least
the
one
thing that might,
I
you
think
know,
that's gonna, I, it's going to be it, interesting if that happens.
For sure.
If Terry, Connor, O'Connor and Connor will be like, oh, my goodness. Oh,
why am I, you know.
What am I doing here?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, wasting my time.
So I think if Terry starts, I'm going to say probably Cook will at least transfer out.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, at least one of them, if not both.
Yeah.
So, all right. Interesting stuff, guys. I can't wait for football, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Transferring over to Barbershop Wednesday really quick. We got about 6 minutes. We want to talk about who is the greatest of all time, the greatest Detroit professional athlete to ever grace Motown. Interesting stuff. I'm sure you guys all have interesting takes on it. Who wants to start this one off, Matt?
All right. It's a two-horse race for me,
mm-hmm,
between Ty Cobb and Gordie Howe.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give the nod to Gordie Howe. Mostly, you know, both amazing careers. Gordie Howe, it's ridiculous when you just look at his, you know, career in a nutshell. I mean,
right,
he is Mr. Hockey. This is Hockey Town.
Mr. Hockey, baby.
I mean, you know, 100-point season at age 40, a four-time Stanley Cup champion, 25 seasons as a Red Wing. When he retired, he was the all-time leader in points, goals, assists, and games played. He's ridiculous. He's constantly in the top three of, you know, best hockey players ever. I mean, he embodies everything that the Red Wings want to be, and I think he's number one.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And for time restraints, I actually have the exact same take as Matt, and I have Gordie Howe. One thing that he didn't mention, though, is the ambidextrousness of Gordie Howe. I mean, how often do you see a hockey player that is ambidextrous and be so successful for five decades?
Five decades
this guy played.
That's unreal, right?
Unreal.
It's like a video game. It's like
NHL 98, man.
Right. It's crazy. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll just be pick the easy guy and say Barry Sanders easily. For me, it's just when you look back on the 10 years that he played with the team, just really, he was a man out there all by himself. The team was never consistently good, there was just Barry. And we could look at him and just be like, okay, something good might come out of this season because we have Barry.
Right.
And that's what sticks out to me.
Right.
From watching. Gordie Howe absolutely playing in five different decades. And
just sick.
And whatever it is. Yes, Gordie Howe's definitely, but for me, it's always going to be Barry.
Yeah, for me, you know what? I am politically correct Al today. I could not choose one.
Oh, my God.
I could not choose one. I could not. That's what I wanted to do this about. I'm sitting at home, and I was just thinking about it. I'm like, man, I kept racking my brain. I can't choose one guy. There's so many greats. Again, like you said, Gordie Howe. Looking at his numbers is just unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. When you just sit back and look at it. And, I mean, he scored almost 800 goals with the Wings. That's just that's unbelievable. But, I mean, just just to throw out some names out there. I mean, you talk about Ty Cobb, Hank Greenberg. We talk about Hank Greenberg on the show, who was unbelievable. Al Kaline with the Tigers. Nicholas Lidstrom, who's probably the greatest European player in NHL history. He was unbelievable. Barry, the legend. I mean, Barry, the only reason people watched the Lions was to watch Barry Sanders. I mean, I remember seeing that huge poster downtown when he was playing. He was unbelievable. Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons, Zeke was unbelievable. Watching him play, a lot of people regard Isaiah as possibly the greatest point guard to ever play the game. Justin Verlander, possibly the greatest pitcher in Tigers history, who's still playing right now. Steve Yzerman. I mean, Stevie Y was unbelievable. I mean, there are so many. If I had to choose just on a fan standpoint, Barry Sanders is up there to me, just from a fan standpoint. It's too hard for me. It was just so many. If you look at that list is just... you just lay out creme brulee, and all of them are great dishes. It's unbelievable, you know?
I mean, Ty Cobb, he was inducted into Cooperstown before Babe Ruth.
Right.
That first vote, he got more votes than Babe Ruth.
Right.
He's not even number one for me. I mean, for all the flack that Detroit gets, we have had some incredible athletes over time, like the best of the best in our city and state, and I mean... Where do you rank, is Calvin Johnson on that list?
Exactly.
Miguel Cabrera, where are the active guys going to be in 10 years?
And that's the thing. And that's the thing. When I was talking to Alex, we were sitting up in the office before the show, and I was sitting there thinking about this as well. I mean, you could arguably have the greatest wide receiver of all time, Calvin Johnson, arguably. Miguel Cabrera as arguably one of the greatest hitters of all time.
And the greatest running back of all
time. You talk about Barry Sanders, the greatest running back of all time. All three of those guys playing in Detroit could, in their careers, well, Barry's already done it with zero titles.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like, I mean,
that's painful.
Yeah. That's painful.
And real quick, then there's the athlete side. Calvin Johnson's vertical, his wingspan. You could argue just pure athleticism alone.
Yeah, exactly. That's certainly, I mean, we could go on and on about this, guys. Great show. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharp, Matt Luckey, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Holt High School football coach Al Slammer for joining us. Again, they kick off the season next week, Thursday, against Hudsonville. Everybody in Mid-Michigan and Michigan in general kicks off the season next week. I cannot wait for it. All right, same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, as always, take care and be easy, people.